Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, pouring the whiskey of conversation into the small shot glass of the internet, pouring the pickle brine of friendship into another small glass of the internet, drinking the whiskey, then drinking the pickle brine. We're having picklebacks, podcast picklebacks.
Pickleback boys.
I love picklebacks.
You do love picklebacks. You have them in your house.
Well, I don't anymore.
You used to.
I have done.
Yeah.
I bought a bottle of specific pickle brine to use for picklebacks.
Yeah.
But then also you can just get it out the jar.
We did have a bottle of the pickle brine during lockdown at one point, and I did love it. I didn't have picklebacks, but yeah. I'd have the shot of pickle juice on its own, and it is.
Would you?
I did. I did that. I was told it was the reason why. So my girlfriend had been given it, being told it was good for you. So I was like, great. If I was, anything in lockdown when I'm not like, I'm being less active, anything to make me feel like I'm doing something good for my body. Doing shots of the pickle juice.
My lineup of vitamins in lockdown was crazy. I had like a library, a vitamin library.
Yeah, absolutely. Like just a whole pill box.
Yeah.
Doing all of them.
Take your 15 vitamins, go for a walk, drink a bottle of wine.
2020.
I miss it, man.
One day. I think, you know, we'll probably have another complete total lockdown before our lives are over.
Yeah. Also, what's stopping is just doing it.
Yeah, you know what?
You know?
This is Off Menu. We have a dream restaurant, Ed and I, and we invite a guest in every single week, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh, wonderful actor, of course.
One of the best actors in the world.
Yes.
Very excited to have Florence Pugh on the podcast. We're big fans.
Yeah.
I'm a bit nervous, if I'm honest, Ed.
Bit nervous
to interview Florence Pugh.
It's going to be fine, James.
I like her films a lot.
Yes.
Very good actor.
Yeah. But we've got to agree, we've got to chat about food, though. You can't just ask loads of your film questions.
Yes. I'm trying to be restrained this time because I know that in the past, when we've got actors on that I like, I ask them too many questions about what they've done.
Yeah.
And I don't talk about the food enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to really focus.
Yes. And none of your weird conspiracy theories about films.
I've watched Midsommar a lot, and I've watched videos about it a lot online. So I'm going to try and I'll keep that in.
Yes,
I'm not. I won't do any conspiracy theories about it. I won't ask what that means, what this means. Just food.
Yes. Okay. Good boy.
Just food.
Good boy. Well done.
Thank you. Here's the thing, Ed.
Yes?
We love Florence Pugh.
We do.
But, as always, if she says a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will have to kick her out of the Dream Restaurant. That's the rules on the podcast.
We will. And we'll be gutted to do it, but we've got to stick to the rules.
Yep. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Kallis caviar. Now, this is a Swedish thing. We just thought we'd pick a Swedish thing because of Midsommar.
Yes.
And I saw this being talked about on an interview between Nardwuar, the best music interviewer of all time. Yes, Nardwuar. Interviewing Michael from Opeth. Yeah. He'd bought him a gift of Kallis caviar spread. It's basically like a Swedish tube food.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As in, it comes in a tube. You don't eat it on the public transport network.
Don't eat it on the public transport network.
It sounds disgusting, but also like the sort of thing I would like.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to try it at Gamble.
The thing is, with things like Primula, so other tube foods, I used to love Primula, but I ruined Primula for myself because I used to squeeze it directly into my mouth, and then it just sort of killed the vibe for me, really. The shrimp Primula straight into the mouth at the fridge.
Yeah. So it's the Swedish food, that's why we're picking it. Not because we haven't had it and we think it's disgusting.
No, but okay, it's the only time we've had a secret ingredient that now I do want to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a first.
But, you know, I've grown up now. It's not going straight in the mouth.
Straight in the ear?
One in the mouth, one in the butt.
Yeah. Obviously, I think about saying straight in the butt.
Yeah.
And then decided to just go for ear instead. Yeah. And then thought, nah, it's never going to be as funny.
That's the difference between us, James.
Yeah.
As creatives.
Yeah.
James will have a thought and then he'll go with a different one.
Yes.
I'll just say it.
But at the end of the day, Ed's funnier.
Yeah, it's true.
It's funnier to go at the butt.
True.
Than in the ear.
We will, of course, not just be talking to Florence about food. We will be talking to her about...
Mrs. Marcus Bercy
Foods. We'll be talking to her about her new film, A Good Person.
Yep, very exciting. Starring herself and Morgan Freeman. Directed by Zach Braff.
And written by Zach Braff.
And written by Zach Braff, credit where it's due. And it's in cinemas right now.
Right now.
And then it will be on Sky Cinema from the 28th of April.
But go to the cinema.
Go to the cinema. Enjoy the theatrical experience. Let's keep the cinemas alive.
Yeah. But this is the off-menu menu of Florence Pugh. Welcome, Florence, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Florence Pugh, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are.
Have you?
Yeah, actually, loads and loads of time. Actually, no, we weren't expecting you at all.
No, that's true.
We thought, no way, Florence, please, could do a podcast.
And
it actually happened.
Yeah.
So there we go.
That sounds so sad. Of course I would.
Listen, man, he's a really sad guy.
I'm a genie with very low self-esteem.
Yes. My heart is broken so early in the morning. I'm sorry you had such low faith.
Welcome. Very excited. Are you a foodie?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of already know you are.
Can't stop eating it.
Won't stop. Yeah.
Sometimes every meal.
Wow.
I know.
I was on the Seth Meyers show after you and got to watch your record, and you mainly talked about cooking a Thanksgiving turkey.
Yes, is it? Wait, you were right after me?
I was right after you, so we didn't see each other.
You're kidding. But, did you get a canned cocktail?
What?
Yeah.
No, you didn't get a canned cocktail.
There was a canned cocktail in that room.
I mainly got a lot of dessert because the people who work on that show are great and they listen to this podcast. So they knew that I like desserts a lot. So my dressing room was
full of desserts.
It was crazy.
Mine was full of like a Mediterranean board, which is great. Oh. I don't know. Clearly, somewhere along the line of my career, someone said, yeah, she really loves like crudité and dips. And then since then, it's been like, we have this whole Greek platter for you. Is this okay? And then, of course, it's always the last thing you want to eat before you go onto anything like garlic breath.
Yeah,
but it's such amazing food that I'm still eating it. So I don't know where that got requested, but dessert sounds pretty clean and easy, no?
Yeah, but like, I was kind of on tour, and you eat badly on tour anyway, and then you go in and all your favourite desserts are there. And of course,
amazing.
I ate them all. There was like banana pudding from Magnolia Bakery. There was like
my favourite.
You like that?
Yeah. I get tubs of the stuff.
This is a great opportunity for you to put the crudité thing to rest.
Yeah.
So now you can establish the next thing.
I actually do like crudité, so I don't want anyone to feel bad about... Also, they ran around New York getting all the most amazing dips and everything, so I'm not going to like completely... crap on them. But it's funny how it's got so elaborate over the years. I think originally it was just like just some cucumber and some hummus.
Yeah.
And now it's like sprinkled with feta from, I don't know, heavens.
Yeah, the heaven feta.
It's heaven feta.
It's heaven feta. Which is kind of wrong, doesn't it?
If you had all the carrot batons and the cucumber batons and celery batons and a tub of banana pudding, would you dip them in?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you dip them in.
I used to, we weren't allowed peanut butter when we were younger at home, and every now and then we'd manage to persuade my mum to get us a peanut butter tub or like jar. And I remember I was so just amazed that we were allowed peanut butter that I'd dip carrots in it. I was like, I don't know even what to do with this stuff. I'm just going to put on everything.
Why wouldn't you allow peanut butter?
I don't know, because now obviously it's really not that bad for you. It's like a nut butter. I think when we were younger, my mum was just trying to limit all the things that, like the crazy things that would make us go crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely one of them.
Yeah, that's one of
them.
But
every now and then it would be like, oh my God, mum's letting us to have the peanut butter.
Because I don't think I had peanut butter growing up. And I think it just used to be like, too American.
Remember the kids that would have all the smooth and the Nutella and like you'd go around and just shovel it into your gob?
Yeah.
I would. I'd always be found in the pantry with a teaspoon in the syrup. You know, what's it called? Lion's syrup,
the
whatever.
Tate and Lyle stuff.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anything peanut butter, I'm the same with. I just eat that like a yogurt.
Me and
like,
my brother would stand on each other and help to get it, even when it would go crystallized at the bottom. That stuff was amazing.
Yeah, kids when you go to kids' houses and they had a snack drawer. Like they were
organized.
Yeah.
You so could just organized. Go for it. We had like, I mean, we had stuff, obviously, but like if it was biscuits, you'd have to either open them first and finish them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it'd be a huge fight.
Yeah.
Or it'd be like an old Jaffa cake or something, which is still good.
Yeah, old Jaffa cakes.
Forgot
good.
About Jaffa cakes.
Yeah.
They're
good.
Great.
They're good stuff.
You forgot about them until just now.
No, I had a French version just now. Yeah. I had a French version on the Eurostar the other day and I was like, this is amazing.
What's the French version?
Just exactly the same, but it's called something different. But I would always peel off the chocolate and then eat the little slither of jelly and then eat the cake.
Interesting, because I'm trying to get the cake off first in that situation.
Oh, you don't like the cake?
How are you dealing with the... You got the
just posting it in like a CD.
If you eat the cake first, you've got the messy bits.
But then it's
in your
a bit melty, remember? Like it's quite melty. It's very
mucky
thin
boy,
chocolate.
I don't mind doing that.
All right, calm down. This is a children's show. Jesus.
He normally doesn't talk about being a mucky boy so early in the record.
I'll wait till the start of
a real shame.
Apologies.
A real shame.
Ed is a mucky boy, and you are a good person.
I am not. And are a good person.
Of course, that's the film we're talking about.
Yes,
today.
A good person by
Lee
Zach Braff.
Excited for the release?
So, we had our first screening last night to an audience that weren't our friends. And let me tell you, that is not fun.
Yeah. Are you watching everyone more than you're watching the film?
I'm watching everyone's backs of their heads, yeah. Like, do they look like they're crying? I hope so. We made this movie together. Zach wrote and directed it. It was my first time giving a good old stab at producing, felt amazing. And so the whole process of it, I've been really like hip to hip and I've been in the loop about everything and changing things that need to be changed. And when we started doing screenings a year ago, we were slowly sharing it to our friends, to our peers, to our colleagues. And then we'd be doing screening rooms full of people that we admire just to get their feedback. So most of the time we always knew that at the end of the day, someone was always going to say, well done. And so yesterday, I hadn't seen the movie in probably about a year because we had to shelf it for a year just to find the right spot for it. And yesterday was the first day that we showed it to people that weren't our friends. Well, they can be my friend, but...
imagine if they're listening to this. Yeah, I know. Fucking friend.
Yeah. What the fuck? What the
we invited
friends.
Exclusively enemies. That's the best way to test out a film.
Kind of, yeah. No, we had a wonderful BAFTA screening and some wonderful viewers. But it's strange because... everything is different. Like, I think English audiences are different as well, and people pick up on different things. Mm. And it was just different, weird, wonderful to actually hear people, enjoy it, which was great, and also be affected by it. It's a very heavy film, but it's also a very humorous film. So, yeah, it's really cool that's happening.
Because you've, like, you know, for years you've been acting in films, and now you get to, you know, do producing for the first time. Has there been things for years where you've been like with producers, why don't they just do it like this? And then you're in that position and you're going,
well, yeah, I mean, oh, okay. I am exec producing, so I'm not producing. Uh-huh. I'm not giving all the money. That's like a completely different kettle of frogs.
I love
right?
it.
Yeah, that's what we're going with.
That's what we're doing.
I love kettle of frogs.
I love kettle of frogs. So what time is it?
It's a different kettle of frogs.
The thing is that people say kettle of fish so much. There must be loads of kettle of fish. So the only way to say it's different is put frogs in the kettle.
Exactly. Yeah. Frogs in the kettle. Why put fish in the kettle anyway?
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't put fish in a kettle.
No, that's mean and really like inhumane.
Yeah, frogs, fine.
I dreamt about fish actually last night.
Go on.
That is so weird.
Tell us about
I've only just realised now. No, because it's so boring. But I think I was saving fish and putting them into kettles.
Really?
Not kettles. Into like... I was saving them and putting them into bowls.
Wow. What do you think it means?
Well, clearly this deja vu created a great story.
maybe it was to do with the screening. You did the screening in front of
people
who
weren't
your
friends.
Maybe
I'm putting it into bowls.
And the fish represent the film.
Yeah, maybe.
And you just want to look after them.
I'm saving the fish.
You want to look after them from all the fishermen who are coming along who aren't your friends.
Yeah, maybe.
You just want to look after this film that you've nurtured.
I'm going to have so many people that are interested in dreams dissect that and being like, no, it means that you are so terrified.
it means you love fish.
Means you love fish. Really. Means you're hungry. Have some food. What I did notice with it was that I'd actually been doing it for so many years without realising that I was doing it. I think for me, scripts and script work and dialogue and monologues and how it feels coming out of an actor's mouth is so important to me. And I've always been watching over that and always been figuring out how I can make it better or how I can make it seem more real or more human, or maybe things aren't necessary. And so I think I have been accidentally doing that over the years. And now I had the opportunity to actually do it and actually have my opinion taken seriously and, you know, change things, which was really, really cool. And also it's just about being a part of the control, being a part of the movie that you're wanting to make and what you want to see at the end of the day.
As an exec producer, did you have any sort of control over the catering element on set?
That would be all I'd care about.
Yeah.
Did I? I mean, you do. But the thing is with filming, it's like it's all goes down to budget. Like you need to just, A, find who's available. And most of the time, whenever you're thinking it's a good time to make a movie, there's like 10 other people that think it's a great time to make a movie.
Yeah, sure.
So unless you have like crazy Marvel budget, you're not going to be getting the best catering truck. But we had food.
Yes, that's good. It's a good start.
Crazy Marvel budget. Well, you've done Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Was there crazy catering truck there?
Yeah. I mean, Americans seem to get catering really well.
Yeah.
I think the crew working just have an appetite for wanting more variation, whereas I think in England it's very much like, no, you're getting this, and that's all you're getting.
This is the menu for
salad.
6 weeks.
You want salad.
Because British films are more gritty, right? You need everyone to look pale and tired.
Yeah.
you need literal grit.
No, I'm being mean. I'm sure that I also have worked with some wonderful catering teams. I think just in America, because it's like in LA, the business is just so much. Mm-hmm. It's every single day. It's around every single corner. So the catering trucks facilitate, I mean, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And they're a bit pickier, which is a good thing.
So before we get into your menu proper, do you want to just tell us everything about Thunderbolts and then we can move on?
Yes, although I think Kevin is outside with a sniper.
Yeah, always there.
Always there.
So still or sparkling water?
Still sparkling. I will go still, but my mum will go sparkling and make me feel guilty, so I'll probably get sparkling and then not drink it.
So your mum's made a sudden appearance here. Is she at the dream meal with you? Or is she always watching like Kevin Feige?
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go still, but I still won't drink it. I don't like water.
Okay. Why not?
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a few people who've come on who don't like water in the past.
Yeah, like water.
Claudia Winkleman's the main person we've had who just absolutely won't drink water.
I don't drink it. Like, you know when you've gone for a run and you want to gulp?
Mm-hmm.
Can't gulp.
Is that just with water?
Just
or
with
any,
water.
Any gulping?
I can gulp orange juice.
Yeah.
I can gulp elderflower presse.
The first two examples.
I can gulp
golden syrup.
Yeah. I can gulp tea when it's at a perfect temperature. I think my problem with it is this is something that we all supposedly need to drink every day of our lives, and it tastes like that.
Yeah.
Like, it could taste like elderflower presse, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
You're imbuing water here with its sort of own will.
I'm just a bit pissed off, yeah. In all honesty.
Yeah. It's like you're imagining water sat there going, I'm going to taste like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just a bit annoyed that there was no creativity in the creation of water. It was all the things it could taste like. It could taste like Whispering Angel. It doesn't. Yeah, it could taste like, honestly, fucking anything. It could taste like anything.
Yeah.
And it just is a bit like...
So for you, it tastes like nothing. Because Jordan Banjo said to him, he feels like he's drinking a glass of spit. That's what it makes him think of.
That is intense.
Yes. Yeah. But to you, it's just flavourless.
No, it's not flavourless. It's just boring. It's just boring. Mm. And everyone's like, do you want some water? No, I don't want some water. Give it to me, water. I didn't drink the last bit, but sure, make it overflowing.
How do you cope when you're in the States then? Because especially in LA, they love to hydrate.
Yeah. I love it.
I usually have tea from morning to lunch.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably like have a glass of wine if I'm having like a lunch meeting or something.
Yeah, nice.
And then I should probably not do that all day because that's bad, isn't it? But I definitely dabble in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard though, isn't it, being a non-water drinker?
People frown on non-water drinkers.
I know, and it's so judgmental. Yeah. I have a friend that carries a water bottle around with her all the time.
One of the massive ones?
No, just a normal one.
Yeah.
And she needs to fill it up at, like, tap places all the time. Yeah. So our day will have to be changed because she needs to go to a tap place.
And presumably
a tap place?
A tap place,
yeah. And presumably to the toilet constantly as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. Okay, that's actually why I don't like water.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Yeah.
You wee all the time.
Yeah.
Think of all the experiences that you're missing.
Sure. Every time you have a wee.
Yeah, every time you have a wee, you're missing the best jokes because you need a wee.
Yeah.
You're missing the best scenes in movies because you need a wee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I prefer to just wee as little as often.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to answer any of these questions if you don't want to. How often a day is the optimum amount?
Yeah.
Guys, I do wee. You just saw I went for a wee. Well, you didn't see. You saw I went to the toilet.
But for you, the optimum amount. Look, this is the dream restaurant. You can also bring the dreams to all of your functions.
Okay, if I could just do like one thing a day, like if I like all the bodily functions that we have to do and it has to be once a day, I'd like to do it once a day,
just get it out of the way.
But that can't happen because obviously you drink fluids to stay on drinking, but
well, because this is the dream meal, I don't want you like starting off with like a glass or something you don't
so
like.
I think I would go to the loo because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And then I'd sit down, and since everybody loves to give you water, I'd take the water because I'm also polite, and that's someone's job to come and give you some water, and I appreciate that.
But it's the dream restaurant, so if you don't want water, you can have elderflower presse instead.
I'll do that.
Would you like what you were saying earlier, the dream?
Yeah.
Water that tastes like elderflower presse.
No, I'll have an elderflower presse. I'll have an elderflower presse. I'll actually have an elderflower presse from my dream hot day drink is an elderflower presse because in my dad's restaurant, I would always get really jealous of everybody ordering cocktails. And the way that they make elderflower presses in Cafe Coco is they put like smash all the mint in with it and so it goes green. And whenever I'd order it, I remember everybody would look at me really jelly. So I'd order the Cafe Coco elderflower presse.
Nice.
Yeah. Lovely.
Tell us more about your dad's restaurant.
Yeah.
My dad has three restaurants. He's been whittling them down over the years. He's been running and designing and making and creating restaurants since ever he could.
Oh, amazing.
So all of our first jobs were in the restaurants.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah. So what was your job?
I worked in the deli first, and then I worked in the restaurant in Cafe Coco, and I was a waiter. And then I worked behind the bar, and then I did some coffees, and then I did some cocktails for a bit. But yeah, we've kind of done everything.
What was your specialty cocktail? What were you really good at making?
I was really good at making a martini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great start to the night.
Yeah, I was going to get a martini next, actually.
What, pre-meal?
Yeah. I'm going to be sat at the bar for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so they're going to wait for my table. I'm going to go and go to the bar. I'm going to look out. Where are we?
Wherever you want to be.
Wherever you want to be. You be at Cafe Coco or?
No, I think I'm going to be in like a hustling and bustling, like cool, classy. Maybe it could be like a New York restaurant bar thing. So I'm going to be sat at the bar and I'm going to be waiting for the table and I'm going to order a wonderful martini and it's going to be a dry Belvedere vodka martini with a twist, no vermouth, in an extra cold glass taken from the freezer.
Amazing. No vermouth whatsoever.
No vermouth whatsoever. And my biggest pet peeve is when they take the glass out before the cocktail has been finished. When they take the glass out first and then they shake the cocktail, I'm like, well, all that was just melting.
So the glass is sat there melting.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I do like a very precise drinks order, especially on the podcast.
Yeah.
Especially for the dream meal. And that timing of the glass. I don't think we've had that before.
No. Yeah, I need it to come out. So shaky.
Yeah.
And then finish his chat with someone, because they always have a chat, don't they, with someone, like as their mid-cocktail. Yeah. So chat, and then before he pours it out, take it off, strain it. And then I think I'd order a little bowl of olives as well.
Yeah.
Like a tiny little bowl of olives.
No.
Yeah.
James and I are off martinis and olives, because we went out for some martinis recently for James's birthday. And we had, how many do we have? Six.
It was a lot of martinis, Florence. We,
where were you?
So it was at the Connaught.
The Connaught.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It was a surprise. It was my birthday.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend was like, we're going to go out. She told me we're going to go for martinis somewhere that I'd wanted to go for martinis. So I was like, oh, we're just going to go, the two of us. Got there, and like Ed and his partner and our friends and Shanae were there. And I was like, very happy. And in my head, I was like, we're having one drink.
Yes.
But then when I saw you guys, I was like, oh, I just want to stay here all night now.
Yeah.
So we had a lot. I mean, by the end of the night, when we were leaving, I think the waitress who'd been serving us, because one of us went, should we have one more? And she went, you've been here since 7.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
She was more surprised, I think. She was like, you've been here since 7? I think they're used to people who are staying in the hotel going for a drink, or people going for a drink pre-theatre or something.
I'm sorry. I didn't realise there was a cap on fun.
Yeah, that's what there was.
We had like 6 martinis, but they bring, because they're used to people having one drink, every time you get a drink, they bring a bowl of olives.
Oh.
And like a bowl of crispy things.
Oh,
so
I see. So they were wasting olives on you.
Yeah, but we were just like hammering these olives down and downing martinis.
I bet. But that's great. Have you ever been to Duke's?
Well, so we were trying to get
the original
into
plan.
That was the plan originally.
Originally, it was we're going to Duke's. And I didn't know that as we were on our way to Duke's, my girlfriend was getting texts from these guys going, we can't get in there.
Let's go to Duke's. I know Alessandro.
Well, listen, we've had... We don't want to get burnt here. Because we've had people on the podcast before say that they're going to go to Duke's for us, and then cancel on us.
And then they never do it.
And then
cancel on us.
If you listen, if you're listening, Joseph Quinn, you owe me a text.
Yeah. Joseph Quinn, for example. Just plucking a name out of thin air.
Okay, well, so I should or I shouldn't promise you?
Yeah, hey.
You should promise. You should promise.
I'd love to go get a martini.
Great.
But they actually do have a cap. You're not allowed any more than 2.
Yeah.
I think with martinis, they're great because you can have a few and then the next day you're like, wow, for a lot of booze, I feel quite clean. And then if you go past that mark, you're like, I am dying and this is not okay.
Yeah.
And I am never doing this again.
Yeah.
And I hate everyone that served me those drinks.
Yeah. So when you had three.
When I had
three martinis.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a great time then. Mm-hmm. There is a picture of me with my head hanging off a bed eating a kebab. Like, completely, like, in bed, sleeping with the kebab. That was what I felt like.
That's such a drop-off from the sort of sophistication of martinis at Duke's to bed with a kebab. That's what a fall.
I had to stop midway. My jaw was so tired, and my head hurt, and I was crying. It was so painful, but it was so tasty.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the problems.
Pop-dubs or bread? Pop-dubs or bread, Florence Pugh?
Oh,
pop-dubs or bread?
I'll go bread. I'll do a sourdough, please.
Lovely.
I'll do a sourdough with a salted butter. Mm-hmm. I hope the restaurant has made their own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I want to see the crystals of salt.
Yeah. You want to know it's legit.
Yeah, I want to know it's legit. And then I also want a little, some Greek tzatziki, like proper Greek tzatziki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like full-on garlic, fire breath.
So are you spreading butter on the bread and then dipping
it in
tzatziki?
No, I'm doing both.
You're doing both.
Also, in this story, my stomach is infinite, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. Yes. So I'm going to do a little bit of butter on the side, mm-hmm. and then the tzatziki is going to come out. You know when they do the cute black olive with the drizzle of the oil?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm just going to, with all those crusts, and then I'll order another one with the meal. That's usually what I do when I'm in Greece.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you go to Greece a lot?
Yeah, I love it.
Paul Hollywood. Loves going to Greece.
I love Greece.
He was our other guest on the podcast.
Really?
He said he loves going to Greece. Yeah,
yeah, it's great.
Would you go to Greece with Paul Hollywood?
Sure. Only if we get to understand bread and he teaches me bread there.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Yeah.
He'd teach you bread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you get bread and butter in a restaurant, we normally ask this of guests.
Yeah.
What's your technique for the spreading of the butter?
Well, I would also, I don't like butter that's too cold, especially at a restaurant, because you're like, oh, great, now I'm just going to be like eating the whole thing and I'm going to need to get another one because I didn't spread that properly, which isn't a problem. But I think I wanted to be in between cold and not too hot and melty, but that is just going to go on.
Yeah.
And I do. I like the little butter knives that they give you.
Mm.
That's nice. Like the wide ones.
Yeah. Yeah. What one that's cool. Like a short and stubby one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like a thumb. Looks like a thumb.
Yeah.
A robot thumb.
A robot
thumb.
A spreadable robot thumb.
So you're spreading and then you're dipping. And is the
bread
warm? Well,
no, I'm going to eat a little bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to. I'm not fuzzy. It doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like toasty.
Yeah, yeah.
It could just be maybe just out of the oven. Yeah, just perfectly out. Just out of the oven.
Just like the martini glass, just out the freezer.
Yes. You want it. Yes.
You like things just as they've...
Just as they're supposed to be eaten.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it.
Straight away.
Yeah. So when you go to a restaurant and you get what you want, it's basically loads of fridges that are shut and nothing else. It's a completely empty restaurant. It's just loads of people stood by the handle waiting to just pull the thing out straight away.
Go.
No, I love vibes. And I love when everybody's feeling a bit flirty and excited and happy to be there. Like, even the staff, when staff are... I don't know. I think when obviously it's full, it makes everybody excited to be there. And it's an occasion. It makes you feel lucky that you're there and you're sat at the bar and that these amazing people are looking after you. Like, I think, like, my dad brought us all up, and my mum brought us all up to, like, the idea of going to a restaurant is such a pleasure. It's such a gift. And your respect must be seen shining from you to the staff working around you. And you say thank you 17 times and you say please 17 times and you help move plates. And like, that's just how I've grown up. And so going out, especially to a place that's run perfectly, even if things are wrong or if like wrong order, it's always, I love the experience of going out to a well-oiled place.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah. And no one's ever talked about helping moving plates before. That's so important.
Yeah, it is.
When there's loads of empty plates and someone comes over to collect them, stack them.
Yeah, and also it's not a problem. It's not, you're not being rude. You're just literally moving the cutlery, putting them on top, making it easy for them as if you're at your mum's house.
Yes.
Help.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I hate when people help but in the wrong way.
Yeah.
If they don't move the cutlery onto the top.
That's really annoying.
With the cutlery.
And then it falls and they're like, you're like, no, you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's nothing worse than when like this poor woman comes over and is like trying to make eye contact with someone from across the table, and no one's looking at her.
Yeah.
And then, Jet bless her, is like trying to carry all of these things. You're just like, just come on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that if that was your gran, would you?
Yeah. Well, that is how I live my entire life.
Yeah. You wouldn't do that. Yeah,
I always think to myself, if this is my gran, what would I do?
And I try apply and treat that people with respect. To lots of things. Like, don't do that with your girlfriend. That's wrong.
Also, like that thing of like, I think this is more common in America. So I haven't really ever seen this until like, you know, probably in my late 20s or whatever. But like, if you're chatting to someone or they're talking to you and then someone comes over like a waiter or a waitress and like tops their glass up or put, and they just completely don't look at them at all, it feels absolutely mad.
It's absolutely horrible. I think service industry, I mean, it's the same as like making eye contact. And my parents had a hard time with like their friends' kids that couldn't make eye contact with people when they were in restaurants. And it's just obvious. This person is there to help you, not to be your servant. And if you're talking to them, you look at them and you give them respect and you say, yes, I'll want this, please. Or what about another thing when, like, everybody sat down and it's a big table and no one bloody well looks at their menu, and so then when the person comes around, they're like, I'll have a... You're wasting their time.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of us look at the menu online before we go to the restaurant.
Okay, I don't do that, and I wish I was that person. But sometimes I like the surprise.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess, but you still need to be prepared when they come over to take the order.
Ed reads menus online when he's not going to the place.
Correct.
Ooh. Sometimes just in an evening, sitting in, he'll read the menu of a place he might like to go to one day.
Wow. I bet some people like books. That's a bit hectic when they change it once a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, luckily, I follow the restaurant on Instagram, and then quite often they'll put up a picture of the menu every week, and then I can just, you know, and constantly update it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that your toilet read?
It's my toilet read. It's my just general read. Yeah.
Like
that. It's what is it?
Also, drink a lot of water as well, so I'm reading them a lot.
Yeah. Always there. Dream starter.
dream startup would be, my dad, I used to have a restaurant called The Lemon Tree. It was a very beautiful, very high-end, like everything was designed very, very special. And it was white tablecloth. And once a week, we'd have to go in and make sure that everything was tickety-boo. And we'd have this special table. And I'd put on like some ridiculous dress, age 9 or 8 or something. And I'd waltz through the restaurant and think that everybody thought I was like in my 20s. And I remember I've never been able to recreate it or find it anywhere else. But they used to do this tomato tart, which sounds very simple. But it was like a rectangle of puff pastry. And then I don't know what they put underneath, but it was a mixture of this basil mush butter with pine nuts, basically like a pesto, but it was special. It was more special than that. And they thinly sliced these tomatoes on top. And it, you know when something is so simple that it shouldn't be that good?
Yeah.
And it is. And every time we would go, I'd always get the tomato tart and they would drizzle the same basil thing over the top. And still to this day, I've had many meals and I've cooked many meals and I've eaten many meals and I've gone to many places. And it's one of those things that my 8-year-old, 9-year-old self can remember how incredible that was.
You're still chasing that tomato high.
You know what? I'm kind of okay with not finding it because that was such a perfect. I think like my understanding of food was given to us from a young age, like eating good food and healthy food and real food, and our education of what is going to help us and not help us was very much given to us by like all of our adults in our family. So I think I do know that that was really special.
Also, the worry is that you would have it again now. And because of everywhere else you've eaten, that it might let you down. But it's better to have that memory of how incredible it was.
Well, also, it was just so simple. So I'm not expecting anything mad from it. But yeah, the restaurant isn't around anymore. So I'm like, I'm happy with that, just living there.
Yeah.
Also, when it is that simple, it's just down to quality of ingredients.
Yes. Yeah. And the person that made it.
Yeah.
Do you know who the...
I think it was Johnny Pugsley. Was the head chef at the time.
Johnny Pugsley.
Great name.
I mean, obviously, I love the name.
Yeah,
sounds what a like great a musician.
You already know that I love the name Johnny Pugsley.
Yeah, Johnny Pugsley.
That's instantly something that I'm going to be thinking about for a long time. Johnny Pugsley cutting the tomatoes.
Yeah, finely sliced tomatoes.
Yeah, finely slicing them all.
He's going to message me being like, of course I didn't make the tart. I was there making the bloody steak.
What's Johnny Pugsley up to these days? Still
he's
rocking
still it? Chefing. Still chefing. Don't know, I haven't seen him in a while.
Johnny Pugsley, if you're listening.
Get in contact.
Get in touch. If the tarts are still in play.
Yeah.
Man, I love it. Like, definitely, I've said it on the podcast before, but like, I just wrote off tomatoes for ages.
Oh, why? You weirdo.
Didn't care.
It was such a weird thing to do.
I was like, you and water. I was just like, this is boring.
Anything in a salad, shit tomatoes.
Yeah,
here.
And cucumbers. Shit tomatoes are the worst.
What about when they're fluffy? Mm. Who is making those?
Or like ice, or like weird and icy, and just like horrible. Really horrible.
I mean, my dad made this vow, and then I followed him. But like cherry tomatoes, always on the vine, never go wrong.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Even if you're in the wrong country for them, always get cherry tomato on the vine. You're fine.
Here's something that I'm afraid is not a response to what we were just talking about.
But, this will happen. James is a terrible interviewer, so he thinks of things in his head.
That's okay. That's quite fun, though.
Yeah, it's not good at this.
Yeah, it's kind of like the wall behind you. It's like craziness is going on.
Yeah,
but it's because I was thinking, I write off tomatoes, I write off cucumbers, and then I remember
cucumbers.
I used to write off cucumbers. I like cucumbers now. I used to completely write them off.
These are my favourites.
But hold on then. Let me interrogate this.
What?
Because cucumbers are just solid water.
Well, why do you think I eat so many cucumbers? Yeah. No, I'm kidding. It's just so that I don't have to, you know, drink this stuff. Yeah. I eat a lot of cucumbers.
You don't see them as solid water.
No, because they have a flavour.
They have so much water in it.
Yeah, but they have a flavour. Yeah, but so much has so much water in. Tea has water in it.
That's true.
It doesn't taste like water.
I didn't call you out on that.
No. Exactly.
When your friend's carrying around her bottle of water, are you carrying around a cucumber all day?
Yeah. And just a watermelon.
Yeah.
Just put a straw in it.
Well, here's the most watery thing that's ever happened, and it happened just before you got here today.
Uh-oh.
I arrived. It was raining outside.
Snowing?
It was kind of half snowing, I guess, wasn't it?
Sludgy.
It was a bit, but like, I opened the door to come in here, and the great Benito here pushed past me to go outside into the rain while holding half a cucumber in his hand, like it was a mouse he'd caught or something. And then he went into the park with the cucumber, and then he came back and he didn't have the cucumber anymore.
Took a cucumber
out into the rain.
Okay, so here's a question. I'll interrogate you.
Yeah.
Was the cucumber chopped that away or that away?
It was downwards.
Halfways?
Yeah, so completely like the...
Bare-faced.
That half of a cucumber. Yeah, like the, wow. the
So its innards were on display.
Okay, so according to Ben, it was rotting in the fridge and he went to throw it in the bin.
That wasn't what I thought you were going to say.
What did you think he was doing with it?
That he like went to the park to go and like nosh on it or something.
Yeah, noshing on the cucumber yeah. in the park.
Well, that he doesn't let anyone look at him while he's eating a cucumber. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm a bit sad about the outcome of that story.
Anytime it's raining.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up.
Anytime it's raining, Ben goes into the rain to eat a cucumber. Yeah.
He's very, very superstitious.
Just, back to your natural habitat. Yeah.
It's like he's getting nice and plump, yeah. don't you? You let it soak up all the rain and they go, oh, it's an extra juicy one now.
Yeah. Back from where you became.
When it's sunny, he has to eat a banana on the bus.
Yes, yeah. I heard that actually. I did hear that when I looked up. You know, all about you.
I hope there is a Wikipedia page about you, Benita.
Yeah. We should add to it.
We yeah. should, definitely. We got the cucumber and banana thing straight away.
Yeah, put those two things in.
Oh, he hates it.
So I absolutely love that tart. I think that's yeah. such yes. a brilliant okay. beginning. I think tomato and basil always is. When people yeah. choose to praise these salads and stuff on this, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a nice, refreshing yeah. start to the meal.
Yeah. Really, yeah, a light, tasty start.
Yeah. yeah. And also... the bits that you wouldn't assume would actually be helpful, the little dribbly bits of the green stuff that, like, you know how decoration is yeah. like, I would wipe with every last bit of puff pastry that entire plate clean. So great. Even the dribbly bits were helpful.
Even the dribbly bits were helpful.
Yes.
Oh, which we should warn you, actually. You might not know it, but, like, there is a Twitter account that posts out-of-context quotes from this podcast.
Yes.
That's fine.
So... be prepared to see even the dribbly bits are helpful.
Yeah, on my Wikipedia page.
That's going to come back to you. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dream main course.
Okay, so there's a few.
Do you want to tell us some honourable mentions?
Yes. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a few. So number one is going to be, I like to get the stifado stew when I'm in Greece. And Irene, a wonderful mother who has a taverna and all of her boys work there, makes the stifado stew, and her mother makes it as well. And that is, I mean, some people won't be happy about it, but it's a rabbit stew. And they have all of their gardens, all of the tavernas have gardens full of vegetables and animals, and, you know, and it's all their own produce. So
it's just all from their
kind
garden.
Kind of amazing. Yeah,
yeah, that's incredible.
So all of their specials will be like, oh, it'll be zucchini flowers, because our zucchini flowers have bloomed and we're going to stuff them with rice and, you know, make it delicious. So I kind of love Greek cuisine because of that, because there's always a nonna somewhere that is growing a garden or making a stew in the corner. And I like how it's, you know, from the ground and onto the plates. So I think I'll do a stifado stew with some chips in it, because that's what my dad does and it's really tasty and I never get the chips in it. I want to have it in a big bowl, in almost like a ceramic-y bowl, with a spoon and some extra bread on the side so I can mop up the stifado and the gooey bits.
You're very details-oriented.
Really?
And I really like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Not many people go as far to describe the bowl that they're having it in.
Sorry.
No, it's great.
No, this is a compliment.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
If it was a wooden bowl, do you think it would taste
weird?
Good?
Yeah. Absolutely weird. What are you doing? Wooden bowl? Just getting the sensation of scratching on the bottom. No, thank you.
Yeah, no good.
Metal bowl?
No.
No.
No, I had to
But you really,
about that,
you really thought about it, though.
Yeah.
There aren't many things I want to eat in a metal bowl.
No.
Maybe a curry.
Curry from a metal bowl is good.
Yeah. That's good when it comes out.
Even in the little dishes.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like making salads in metal bowls and then transferring it.
Yeah,
but I don't like eating out of metal bowls.
By the time I've made the salad in a metal bowl,
True. But what about when you're doing like the big ones for people?
Yeah, yeah.
This is mine.
I'll eat my bit, and then you guys tuck in after.
Come out of the bowl after me. Yeah, I don't. Also, it's the ting, ting, ting.
So is that? So like you said that with the other bowls the scraping and the noises.
It has to be, the sensation has to feel right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really want to get to the bottom.
So you just leave it like that.
Yeah.
Because you want the spoon to meet
all the leaves stuck to the side.
What kind of chips are going in this?
They're nothing crazy special. Uh-huh. They're not like triple, they could be triple cooked. I kind of just want Irene's chips, but they're not thick. They're like thin, and maybe they're triple cooked since I'm in a dream restaurant. I'll do that.
What's Irene's?
Irene is the taverna, the mama of the taverna.
What were you thinking about when Florence was talking about that earlier?
Yeah, I was thinking about the cucumber in the bank. Oh, I didn't hear Irene.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, I also want a side salad, Greek salad, please.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Let's get into details of the Greek salad then.
It has to be in a traditional white bowl, you know, where they have the lip out like that. And then I don't want any of the other leaves stuff. I want like actual traditional. I want like real Greek tomatoes, real Greek cucumber. I want olives. I want red onion that burns my face off. And I want a massive slab of feta.
Yes.
None of the like, oh, we're going to cut it into pretty shapes. No, I want it on the top, olive oil, oregano, and a little bit of white wine vinegar.
And you're just going to smash into that?
I'm just going to... Yeah. And then mix it all together. And then I also want a bit of a crust so I can mop up the end.
Great.
Make like a pulp with the feta and the red onion and the dressing.
Having the feta in a big slab on the top is so important.
Yeah.
The cube situation.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. In fact, you can buy pre-cubed feta.
Have you been to America and had their pre-cubed feta?
Yeah, I've...
Rancid.
Yeah, just, well, cheese
Absolutely
cheese in America in general
it's very
is unacceptable, yeah. Just really unacceptable. It is totally unacceptable. I don't know how they made it this far.
But the little pots of, like, the bashed around feta. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. And then it says on the back, came from Greece. I'm like, no, it didn't. They would not let that out of their country looking like that.
With the slab, are you smashing it in and mixing it in?
Yeah. Sometimes if it's me, like if I'm sharing it with people, I have to smash it, mix it in so that everybody gets a fair amount.
Yeah.
If it's me, I can kind of pick and choose when I want it. But I don't like it when they dress it and then bring it out to you. Like, I really want to be in control of the olive oil.
You want to executive produce
the salad.
You know,
when you go to, when you go to Devon and they have the little dressing thing on the table.
Yeah.
With the paper tablecloth.
Yeah. And then you can just get involved.
Oh, I've got static going on my leg.
You got static leg?
I got static leg.
You get shot.
You got a case of static leg. I do indeed.
Good new character. Yeah. There's a preview of the next film.
Yeah. Static Leg by Florence Pugh.
I'd go and see Static Leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Yorkshire static doctor. Yeah. It'd be a real left turn for you, but I think it'd go well.
I don't
well.
Think it would, actually. I'm doing every left turn, apparently. every job I do, I'm like...
Good accent just then. You do a lot of good accents in
films. I can do Northern quite easy. My gran was from Grimsby. Uh-huh. So I grew up taking the piss out of my granddad.
Right. So I thought the first few things I saw you in was all American accents. And I just thought you were American for ages.
So many people think I'm American. And then sometimes when I do things publicly, like if I present an award or if I'm like on a stage talking, they're like, that is the fakest English accent I've ever seen. I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? How do I sound better?
But why would that be the time where you fake an accent when you're giving an award?
Or like sometimes when I've done Instagram stories or something, they're like, oh my God, Florence P sounds like she's doing an accent. I'm like, no, that is me.
It's literally
that
my
is
accent.
Literally me. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to admit, I'm quite a philistine with this block of feta thing.
Are you?
Yeah, I thought it's meant to come in the little cubes, and I'm sitting here just having to style it out while you two are talking about how.
But you've seen blocks of feta, right?
I've seen the blocks, but I've never seen it on the salad, just one big block. I've never seen this before.
Oh dear.
That's Greek style, baby.
Yeah, that's Greek style, baby.
That's Greek style, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. The problem is when they do the cubes, they can basically ration how much you get because it looks like there's lots. Mm-hmm. Whereas you want the slab. And then sometimes cheeky places will give you a slab, but they'll chop it in half and you're like, or they give you a thin slab and you're like, no. I want the thick, almost an inch.
Yeah. They do a slice of slab.
Yeah.
No, that's awful.
That's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, that's totally wrong.
Should be against the law, actually. Mm.
Would you ideally like it that the shape of the feta is the same shape as the bowl and it covers it like a pilot?
You would like that.
I would like that. If I may interrupt, I would like that.
You would like that. Okay, that's on your meal.
Yes.
I don't think so.
No, you're
I quite like, I think my, I like the Greek's aesthetic of like the white bowl with the salad peeking through and the bits of tomatoes and the wonky veg coming out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Are you really trying to make sure everyone gets a fair portion if you're sharing it? Or I'm happy to admit with feta, I'm digging around in that to get my portion and I want maximum feta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone else gets, as long as I get my feta.
Well, this was actually a bit of a thing in our family, was when we would start going to Greece, we would get like one salad for the table or two salads for the table, and it just didn't go down very well. So then it then got to the point when we were all teenagers, we're like, no, we're having our own. Like, that's going to be my meal. I'm going to have the salad. And don't you dare come near me.
Don't you dare come near me.
I will eat your hand as if it's feta.
What's this rabbit like? I want to know what the...
Well, it's not alive.
Is it?
Yeah, you made
you
a hand gesture,
hand gesture
as if to suggest a little rabbit's feet.
I also don't really eat rabbit anywhere else. It's just that. It's just the granny stifado stew that you're lucky to have a portion of because she makes like a batch. And then if you're there at the right time of day... it's very soft meat. It's white and a bit dark. It breaks away really nicely in the stew.
It's super slow cooked, I guess.
Yeah, it is. And so it's like bits of vegetables and potato and a bit of their horta, which is like their mountain kind of weed that you get to eat. It's like a spinachy thing. It's just honestly like a wholesome bowl of goodness. Like that is what your granny would cook for you if you were ill. Or not ill, but just like it's just come from someone's heart. I like it for those reasons. But I don't really go around eating rabbit elsewhere.
Sure. But in this
scenario, I'm going to have the stifado stew.
See, now you've said about warm, wholesome bowls of stew. Now I'm thinking about a bread bowl. Where do you stand on bread bowls?
Yeah,
I've never had one.
Okay.
Don't know if I'd be like, so is it going to leak?
Depends on the bread that they're using.
Have you had one?
I've had one. Yeah. I've had chowder in a bread bowl.
Weird.
Quite weird, but you do get used to it.
But also, it's not like you're eating the inside of it, so you're just like...
Oh, you are?
Oh, you are?
Yeah, you are. Because if you think about it, the chowder, if it's a big enough bread bowl, the chowder is moistening the inside. So in a way, when you eat some of the chowder, you can start to sort of scrape away at the walls of the bowl.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Seem
I know, I'm just... I think maybe there's a reason why I haven't tried it. I'll try it.
Yeah.
I'll try it. I mean, it's also sustainable, which is great.
Yeah, exactly.
No washing up.
Yeah, You could use a sort
of pans that you bake them in,
and the sort of spoon or fork.
And the spoon or fork, yeah. You could make that out of bread. To be honest, make that out of a cracker.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing all sorts of things with straws nowadays.
Yeah.
What sort of things are they doing with straws nowadays?
Oh, I had a Aperol spritz with a straw made of pasta.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Those things don't go together at all. Do you mean you just got a piece of penne and?
No, it was a long straw, uncooked.
Hmm.
Imagine and only by the end, well, then it wouldn't go. Then you'd be like, whoa. And then only by the end does it start going a bit like tacky at the end. Right. But it's kind of amazing.
And then what do you do with the straw?
Well, they just chuck it away.
It doesn't feel as sustainable.
No. Well, it's not plastic. Like,
no, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure if you wanted to keep them, you could put them in the pan.
Yeah. A bird could choke on the pasta, though, as well, I guess.
A bird could choke on the pasta as well.
They should cook it and then throw it on the beach or whatever.
And then throw it on the beach, yeah. I'm sure they do something with it.
Yeah.
Maybe they do boil them all and then you've got, like, slightly Aperol spritzy pasta.
Yeah, I'd actually like that. I'd try that.
You'd have some pasta spritz?
Yeah, but then you'd be having everybody... I suppose it's in boiling water, but it'd be clean.
Yeah, yeah, it'd clean it.
Well, there's always time, guys. We can open up a Aperol spritz straw restaurant.
So is that your dream main course and dream side dish?
Yes.
I have another main dish.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll do the other dream side dish.
Yeah, other dream main dish.
Oh, sorry.
other dream main dish My other dream main dish is, it could be two in the one. So I'd do my granny's Christmas Day goose. Mm-hmm. Just the meat of it, because it's like our favourite thing and she does it perfectly and wow. And it's crispy, and it's dark, and it's amazing. It could either be that meat, because we love it so much, or it could be my dad got into a habit of making confit duck with a really creamy mashed potato and red cabbage, which had, I think it had some raisins in it or something, and then a dark, dark, dark gravy. And that was insane. My dad gets into these, rhythms of when he's got a meal and it's great, he'll just make that and everyone's like, wow, and he'll probably make it for a week because he's just so excited that was so good. And so we had that. I remember I think there was an over order of confit duck in one of the restaurants, and so my dad was like, I'll take them home, and we just had them, and he sous vide. Wow. It was insane. He sous vide. He was like a mad scientist. So I think it could be that, or the meat could maybe be my granny's goose.
Is this your granny who comes on the red carpet with
you? Yeah, Granny Pat.
Yeah, I've seen those photos.
Have you?
A laugh, I'd say. She looks like a laugh.
Yeah, yeah, she is a right laugh. She came to the screening last night, and I gave her, it's her birthday coming up this week, and I gave her some of her birthday presents in preparation for the premiere in New York. Mm-hmm. And she's getting her outfit ready.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's going to look good.
Do you,
all I'll say is... Zebra.
Yes, Granny Pat. Yeah. I mean,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
So she's dressed as a lollipop lady on a zebra crossing?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Okay. With a real life-size lollipop.
It would seem a shame then to not have Granny Pat's goose on the dream menu.
On here?
Yeah, on the dream menu, yeah.
Do you want her to come?
Oh, yeah, we'll get her down.
Get Granny Pat on?
Yeah, have a Granny Pat episode. And I've already forgotten his name. Johnny Duggles.
Pugsley.
No. Yeah.
Johnny Pugsley.
All the extended...
Well, I haven't seen him in a while, but I mean...
Yeah. Weird that you're now distancing yourself from Johnny Pugsley.
No, I just don't. I'm just making sure that, I mean, let me get his contact details first before he... I just want to... Because I know you guys are really big on promises, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Just before you're like...
Don't break our heart.
We're going to get Johnny Pugsley and Granny Pat. I just want
to... Yeah. This is us turning up to Duke's to meet you, Johnny Pugsley and Granny Pat.
She'd love that.
The gag.
She would actually love that.
Yeah.
So much.
I'm up for that. We'll wear zebra.
Yeah. We'll turn up just as... Well, not all zebra. Granny Pat zebra.
Yeah, she's zebra.
And then one of
all
us
of
lion,
us dressed
hippo,
in black.
Giraffe.
Or maybe we're all of us like a security guard.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah. Sunglasses, the works.
And then people will be like, who is she?
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, that is really cool, actually.
Does Granny Pat have a favourite premiere she's been to? That's like that
So the Little Women premiere was quite special because my granddad was getting a bit old and couldn't really move as well, and so we took him to, I got him to Paris, which was amazing. And they went on the Eurostar, and they hadn't been since they were younger, and you know, hadn't had like the glamorous experience probably since they were younger. And we stayed at Le Bristol, and it was just like, and we all knew when we were there that this was really, really special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody was looking after him and her, and they just felt like they were on top of the world. And every single meal that they ate was the best meal that they'd ever eaten. And every single shrimp or crab or oyster, and it was the best that they had ever, you know, they were just like high on life. And sadly, my granddad passed away the following year. So it was really like one of the last, and also that was just before the pandemic. So it was one of the last trips that we all went on and had this, you know, amazing experience. So I think it was probably that one, because they just were like in this heightened, bizarre,
That's crazy, so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course, when obviously Granny basically stole the red carpet at Venice, was just highlight of her life.
Yeah.
I came off the red carpet with her, and she wasn't supposed to go on. She just like was just dancing, and it was amazing. And it's really intense when you're out there. Like, there's so many people shouting at you, and there's walls of photographers, and you can't hear yourself think at the best of times. So I was just a bit like sensitive about her coming out. She just was amazing. She was just pirouetting and dancing.
A natural.
And yeah. I thought she'd be done with one wall, and then she was like, okay, let's go over to the other one. And then I came off, and my mum was crying, my dad was crying. They were like, she's amazing.
Did Granny Pat go to the Midsommar premiere? can't imagine taking a granny to Midsommar.
I took her and my granddad. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I took them to the Odeon in Oxford because we'd missed it. They couldn't come to the premiere was in New York. So I took them to the Odeon, and we all sat down, and annoyingly, it was the first time they ever screened the movie, and they completely botched it up. Like, the it stopped playing the movie, but the sound kept on going. But because it was such a weird movie, people were like, this is it. And then it got to the point where I was like, no, God, this is wrong. And I was like trying to wave. And then eventually someone came and they're like, so the projectors stopped working.
Oh, God.
We're going to get it up and running in a bit. And we were like, okay. But it was in one of the moments where you really needed to see everything.
Yeah, sure.
And then it happened again. And it was just one of those like, oh, my God. Oh, and also it was the wrong sizing. So you couldn't see any of the translation.
Oh yeah,
subtitles.
Yeah.
And so no one knew what was going on. And then I remember my granddad at the end was like, well, I wouldn't have watched it if you weren't in it. And I was like, no, I know that, granddad.
I mean, his question's about that now, when we brought it up.
Yeah.
Let's do a food one first.
Yes. Yeah.
So we stick on food.
Yeah.
What was it like getting the fish in your mouth? The tail first.
It was quite funny. We actually had loads of conversations about the fish because I just didn't. There's so many things that when you read a script, you're like, oh yeah, then we'll do that. And then you don't really think about the act of actually doing it. You're just like, oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that happens, honestly, with me so many times. And it's only until someone's like, well, do you want to swallow it whole, or do you want it hard? And you're like, wait, what? Oh my God. And they brought out this platter of fish one day, and it was so bloody hot there. It was Budapest in summer. Is as hot as LA in summer. It's like boiling, but the buildings aren't cool. They don't have much air conditioning. And we were shooting in the middle of a field in midsummer, and very little shade. And so food, like the prop food, kept on being sat in the sun, would start to go rancid and would go off. It was like, honestly, nightmare, like actually nightmare. And so they brought out this platter of fish, and one was huge, absolutely huge, and then it just went down to like normal size. And Aro said, what do you think about that one? And it was like bang in the middle of sizes. I was like, I think that's still a bit too big. And then they were asking me to like weigh them and feel them in my hands. I was like, this is so weird.
That feels pointless to weigh them in your hands.
I was like, sorry, can we just talk about what's happening with the fish? Because it says in the script that they bring out a herring. I was like, but what is happening? And he goes, oh, they're going to dangle it in your mouth. I was like, what? I kind of hadn't really processed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we chose that one, and then I made sure that they put it on ice because it was shooting the next day, and they were like, on ice? I go, yeah, it's going in my mouth, on ice. So then they put it on ice, and they were like, it's on ice. I was like, great, thank goodness.
So they weren't going to, they were just going to leave it there until the next day?
I think they would have refrigerated it, but we'd had a few issues with like, the crustacean tower hadn't been refrigerated, and so it literally, when we were doing that dining table scene, we were doing that scene for maybe 2 days or something. And by the second day, we were like gagging, like actually gagging. And then it had to actually be swapped out with apples because people couldn't sit there anymore because some people were being sick.
I love the thought of everyone gagging, and the only person not gagging is the guy drinking all the pubes.
He's loving
absolutely fine. Yeah. This is a great banquet, guys.
Yeah. No, this was the mirrored table. So, but how was that? I mean, yeah, I just got like a face full of fish.
Well, maybe that's maybe that's why you dream about fish all the time.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Get them into bowls.
It was fun. You know what was a bit weird was that obviously it was just very slimy and oily, but there was like, my face was covered with the scales and my lips were covered with scales. So it was just a bit like, oh, this is so unpleasant. And then afterwards, of course, you just wipe it off and get on with your day. So I just still, I stank of fish for a bit.
Because it looks in the film.
Fishy.
Like, it looks like you are, it's genuinely someone trying to do what they're asking you to do. And the reaction seems really real. Yeah. There's like, oh, I can't do this.
Yes, it was that. No, I mean, it was in the script that she can't do it. Because it's a huge fish. But it was also made even better by the fact that the whole table was like smiling and cheering. At me. So it just played into the surreal, you know, surrealism of it.
What do you think happens to her? Because the festival isn't over at the end. There's still days left and you're all smiling at the end. But I mean, what do you?
I think she survives. I think she's... So she's had a psychotic break. That's what's happened. When she sees her... husband, fiance, are they married? Oh my god, I can't believe they're not married. Her
not
boyfriend,
married.
Sorry, I kill so many of my husbands in my movies. when she sees her boyfriend having that orgy in the temple, I think that's like one of the last things that she can probably deal with. And I think through the mushroom trip and the this trip and the that trip, I think when everything starts, when she, like for example, when she's on the throne with her flower dress and she's given the choice to either choose her boyfriend or the other sacrifice. I genuinely, and also this is always, actors always have different, I mean, the idea of the movie should always be that what happens in the movie, but you always have like slight changes because it's you that's playing them. And as long as obviously you're giving a performance that they can edit, then it doesn't really matter what you were thinking when it happened. But I always took it as like she was kind of gone by that point, and just the pampering and the weirdness and the oddities of what was happening. So when she looks at him, I never thought she looked at him to kill him. I thought it was more of like she was in a different place. She was in a different, she wasn't her anymore. And she almost looks at him as if like she's getting that recognition. She knows that it's someone that she loves, and she knows that it's someone that's hurt her. So that whole zoom in is like, for me, it was her processing deep from wherever it is that she's got lost to, that is someone that has hurt her. And then it snaps, and then he's been chosen. So I always thought that she survived. I don't think she's probably ever going to come back, because to come back from a psychotic break, you have to have deep treatment and work that obviously those people don't have.
Yeah, they're not offering that.
I do think that they care for her. And I do think she's in that weird, twisted, horrible way. She's in like a place that people actually want her to be there. Mm-hmm. And I do think she will be getting respect and love in a weird way there. I don't think she's ever coming back from this break.
Yeah,
it's funny, when I did it, I was so wrapped up in her, and I've never had this ever before with any of my characters. I was so wrapped up in her that when I was making the movie, there were so many places that I had to go to. I'd never played someone that was in that much pain before, and I would put myself in really like shit situations that other actors maybe don't need to do. But like, I would just be imagining the worst things, because each day the content would be getting like more weird and harder to do. I was just putting things in my head that were just getting worse and more bleak. And I think by the end, I had probably most definitely abused my own self in order to get that performance. And when I left the shoot, they still had 3 days left to shoot, because I was off to Boston to go and shoot Little Women literally straight away. I know. And I remember when I left, I said goodbye to everyone. And when I was in the plane, I looked down, and by that point I'd travelled so much over the weekends to go and do press for Little Drummer Girl that I knew exactly where the field was when I was in the plane, because I'd follow the road out. And I remember looking down and feeling immense guilt. Like, I felt so guilty because I felt like I'd left her in that field in that state.
Oh, wow.
And it was so weird. I've never had that before. I've always thought that, like, oh, my characters, once I've left them, I was like, yeah, but they'd be fine in the next situation. Like, they know how to handle themselves. And in this one, I was like, and obviously, probably a psychological thing where I felt immense guilt of, like, what I'd put myself through.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I definitely felt like I'd left her there in that field to be abused, to be... she can't fend for herself. Yeah. Like, almost like I'd created this person and then I just left her when I had to go and do another movie.
I mean, to be fair, probably better leave her there than take her with you to Little Women.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I don't think she has a place in Little Women. But it's funny, it was just like I'd obviously created such a sad person.
Yeah.
And then felt guilty that I'd created that person and then left her.
But I guess that feeling of guilt is like kind of the character as well, right?
Yeah.
So like she's feeling guilty about feeling that she's let people down. Yeah. And so you are.
Yeah. Well, I think she's fine. I think she's fine. I think I do think Pele would look after her. I don't think he's going to abuse her or hurt her. I do think that community appreciate her being there. But I felt like it was my
responsibility. Trust those fuckers.
No. No. What do you think is going to happen?
I think they kill her.
Really?
Where were the other May Queens from the past?
They were there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Then she's fine.
Then she's fine. She'll survive.
Then she's absolutely fine.
Yeah, she's there. Also, they killed all of their sacrifices.
Oh, so that was all the sacrifices they needed. Oh, that's quite reassuring to me. Now.
Yeah.
I genuinely have got, I now know what she survived. Yeah. I've watched the film a lot and watched a lot of videos online about it.
Have you? What do people say? Is that a theory?
Yeah, there's loads of theories about it. There's loads of theories. Yeah, people love talking about that film. There's so much stuff, obviously.
There's so much to see.
I mean, though, we've got I want to lob in all three of those main courses.
I think so.
I'd order all of them. I also like doing that when you're like, oh, I don't know what to get. I'll get two.
Yeah.
Especially when you're hungover. That's great.
The goose, the confit duck.
And the stifada. They're all very meat heavy. Also, I'm not a very big meat person, so that's strange. I think these are just like my highlights, aren't they?
Yeah.
Dream drink.
So with the confit duck, I'm going to do like a Barolo or I'll do a Pinot Noir. With the Stifado, I think I'm going to do a beer in an iced glass.
Yeah.
Straight out of that freezer, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, we know this shit. And then with the goose, maybe it's another red wine. I'm not going to go mess about with anything, am I? Maybe I'll get a cocktail around now just to like wake myself up. Should I get another martini? Maybe. I'll get another martini. I'll do another martini.
Do another one.
Yeah.
So much respect for this menu.
Yeah.
We love it when people pair drinks with everything.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I like getting two drinks as well.
Yeah.
Just in case I get like, ooh.
So you don't have to. Yeah. Because you know you're going to order another one anyway, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but hold on. Now.
What? Oh, hang on.
What have I done?
What's happened?
Well, you like. You're not getting two drinks. You wouldn't do it with the straight out the freezer glass drinks. You're not getting two of them because then the glass is going to go all crummy.
No. I'm double fisting. So for example, with the Stifado, it would be like the cold beer.
Yeah.
With the ducks, it would be the wine. Uh-huh. And then I think I'd probably get like a martini at the end of my duck or goose.
Okay.
And then just to like, you know. Maybe
come
again.
It's Midsummer?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bit. Stop asking questions about this.
Okay.
Too many questions.
We go on forever about that.
Head about that. The dessert, the drink.
The dessert. My favourite dessert is tiramisu. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy about it. I just want tiramisu. It's literally been my favourite since I was 4 years old. And my mum's best friend like wiped off the cream for me. Because I wasn't allowed the boozy bit, but then I did have the boozy bit. Yeah, I love it. It's what I get for my birthdays as well. I love a tiramisu.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I love a homemade one. I love a fancy pants one. I love a tiramisu. And then maybe, is that an affogato? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
The ice cream with the espresso on top?
Yes. But the ice cream has to be really cold. I can't have any of that melty business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need the coffee. You know when you pour the coffee in and sometimes it dries and then it crystallizes?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you get a bit of a crispy top?
Mm.
I want that.
You want that?
You want the crispy top.
You want the crystallized ice cream.
No, I don't want the crystallized ice cream. I want the ice cream to be really cold.
Yeah.
But when you pour the coffee on, it freezes and then you get that layer of coffee that is gone crispy.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
Amazing. Yeah.
Definitely getting one of those.
So that's after you're having the tiramisu.
Yeah.
And then after you're having the affogato? Or sure. Is it?
Sure, I'll have that when I have my espresso.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want a lotus biscuit on the side.
Biscoff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It is. I can inhale like 8 of those.
Have you had the spread?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's dangerous stuff.
Dangerous times.
Yeah. That's straight with a spoon stuff, isn't it?
House.
Yeah.
That's really dangerous. Yeah. Partly because as you eat it, you're like, I know this isn't good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know it's whizzed up biscuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that before.
It's not going to talk about.
Had not thought of that before.
It's about 1,200 biscuits in a jar.
What do you think about the Cadbury's chocolate spread?
Mm. I've not had it in a long time.
Okay, so weird, but Nutella, you can eat it with a spoon and it tastes like Nutella. Mm. If you eat Cadbury's with a spoon, it doesn't taste good. But if you put it on buttered white toast, amazing.
Right.
Mm.
But the taste is different. The taste raw or cold is not pleasurable. I don't like it. Whereas I do like Nutella cold or raw. Mm-hmm. But on toast, it's the tits.
Wow. I've never had this Cadbury's chocolate spread.
I haven't had it in years, to be fair. But it's a funny thing. You can't eat it. I don't like it. It's not. It doesn't do the Nutella thing. It's not like you could eat, like Nutella, you could just wipe it on your elbow and eat it. Like, it's so tasty.
Very few things do the Nutella thing, though, right?
What do you mean? Oh, it's like, could be good everywhere.
That's a special
thing. That is a special
thing. You
going
to eat a jar of marmalade on its own?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Bad example. Delicious. Example. Yeah.
I think peanut butter you can pretty much eat everywhere.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can
eat
that.
You could like wipe
long.
That on your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Use it as a concealer.
I love that the places where you choose to wipe food and eat them are places that you actually couldn't
eat.
Reach.
Yeah. Hang on, though. Great for saving for later.
Yeah. The eyebrows and the elbows.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that you can't eat them straight away.
The elbow's
also
tricky, though.
It's purposeful.
Yeah.
It's not like you put it on your cheek. Someone's going to say, oh, you've got peanut butter on your cheek.
Yeah, you look like an idiot. But if you've got it on your eyebrows,
you don't
look like an idiot at
then
all.
Then it's like, oh, she put peanut butter on her eyebrows. That's a choice.
Yeah. That'd be a great look.
And maybe that's how we go dress to Duke's as Grand's security guards. All dressed in black, little sunglasses, like little mice sunglasses, and then we do peanut.
Yeah.
Peanut butter eyebrows.
Yeah, peanut butter eyebrows.
Yeah.
And elbows, but no
one's. It'd be the peanut crew. People would be terrified.
Yeah. People would call us the peanut crew. I'm not sure they'd be terrified.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah, I'd be terrified.
Four people dressed in black with peanut on their eyebrows.
Yeah.
Is it crunchy or smooth?
Smooth for the eyebrows, I think.
Yeah. Crunchy just for the extra, elbows, right?
Yeah.
So that when you put your elbow on the table, it's.
You hear a bit of it.
Yeah.
You want to have some impact.
Yeah.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Wait, do I not get a dessert cocktail?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, I think I might get either like a dessert wine or I'll do an espresso martini.
Very nice.
I suppose that is the affogato, though, isn't it? Otherwise, I'd be wired all night
I think.
Long.
But again, just like you were saying, like your stomach would be limitless for a meal like this.
Oh, yeah, then I'd do an espresso martini.
Your tolerance for caffeine, you can like, you want to dial that down
exactly.
or up.
I will, I'll just go, yeet.
Yeah.
Espresso martini affogato does sound amazing.
But I don't like it when they make it too sweet. I always say, can you not make it sweet?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when it's so much the sugar syrup and you just feel it on your teeth.
So you just want really straight coffee.
I just want
vodka.
Like a coffee with vodka with a little bit of sugar, not like, oh my God, I'm drinking Calpol.
Yeah. We always talk about having a Calpol cocktail.
Yeah.
Is
we
it think good?
It's a go- well, no,
we,
no,
we haven't had it.
Because it's a painkiller.
We just think about it all the time.
That's drugs and alcohol at the same time.
But it's kids' drugs, isn't it?
I'm trying to figure out how that would be bad.
Yeah.
Never done drugs in my life. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What was this as well?
Yeah, the non-beard. Yeah. just wiping that peanut butter everywhere.
Just showing Florence that, but yeah, I could get in a role. Yeah.
Drugs Man, that was his character, Drugs Man.
When we leave the studio, they'd be like, oh, I left Drugs Man behind in the podcast studio.
Did you have any sugar in your house?
Yeah, this is a long-running thing on the podcast. But basically, my family, most of us, apart from my mum, are sugar fiends, obsessed with sugar.
Yeah.
But my mum was good at like not letting us have too much of it. Little did we know that my dad was like just constantly, you know, tiptoeing off to secret rooms and inhaling tubs of ice cream and then like coming back.
Yeah, it's
so like we've all grown up to be
like.
It's
crazy how much they love sugar, that family.
Wow. Yeah.
But surely your mum would notice it in the freezer. That
she knew what he was doing. But she was like, he's a grown man, I can't, whatever. But like, with us, she was like, we're going to limit this and ration it out.
Yeah.
But then maybe like.
I've just realised one more thing that I want to mention.
Absolutely.
whilst you're just saying the one, like, I was just thinking, what was the one thing that as a kid I was like,
yeah,
as a, I was, my mum was the same. We weren't allowed naughty things in the house, but she would let me have a Pret banana cake. Have you ever had one?
No, I don't think
I've had
one.
Insane. Yeah. Amazing. They have the consistency. They have the ratio.
Yeah.
They have a little piece of tissue paper on the top that says Pret that you take off and you lick it. You're not supposed to. I mean, you can do, but I lick it. Honestly, it's amazing. I think that's going to be my with the espresso, I'm going to have a Pret banana cake.
Great.
Go and get one today. They are so good.
Maybe I will get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love banana. I love cakes.
You love Pret?
Yeah. I've got a routine about how I love Pret. I'll stand by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Water, elderflower presse from Cafe Coco.
Yeah.
And then you would like vodka martini.
Yeah.
With all the dry Belvedere.
Yeah.
No vermouth, glass straight from the freezer, bowl of olives.
With a twist.
With a twist.
Yeah.
Pop on some bread, sourdough, slightly warm.
Yeah.
With salted butter, but I see the crystals on the top.
Yeah.
And tzatziki, I never know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
You pronounced it earlier in a way that was like, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Well,
and
the Greeks never, say I don't pronounce it.
I've never said
right
it like
either.
That before. Oh, really?
Well, they're like tzatziki. And I'm tzatziki. Like tzatziki.
Love it. Starter, tomato tart from the lemon tree.
Yeah.
May or may not be made by Johnny Pugsley.
Yeah.
Main course, stufado stew with chips in it in a big ceramic bowl.
Yeah.
Plus Granny's Christmas Day goose, just the meat.
Yeah.
And Dad's confit duck.
Yes.
The meat is on mashed potato.
Yeah, but like a really creamy one.
Really creamy mashed potato. Red cabbage with some raisins in it.
But it's like a wet red cabbage.
And a very dark gravy.
It's like a sweet, dark gravy, like definitely winey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the plating is going to go like this.
Yes.
It's going to go mashed potato on the bottom, and then you have a little handful of the red cabbage, and then you put the duck leg like this on an angle, and then the gravy is going to go around it.
Spirals around it? Or just around the outside?
It's like, literally like it's a moat.
Nice. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then you can smush things in it. So
there's a lot of smushing going on in this meal.
I like food that's interactive.
Yeah.
Side dish. A Greek salad, block of feta on the top, not in cubes. Drink you want, so with each thing, so you want Barolo Pinot Noir, beer in a freezer glass, and another martini. But you're having those with each
different meals.
Each different one. Dessert, a tiramisu.
Yeah.
And then after that, affogato with a lotus biscuit.
Yeah.
Espresso martini.
Yeah.
And
not too sweet.
Not too sweet. and there was one more thing that we have just talked about literally just now.
Which is?
And it is the, from your childhood.
Yeah.
And you always wanted it, the Pret banana cake.
Wow, how long did that take? Yeah. And that was literally 3 minutes ago.
I just had to like remember all the specifics of a fucking duck dish.
Come on.
Of a fucking duck dish.
Yeah. How dare you?
You brought me on this show. You told me to tell you my favourite meals and it's a fucking duck dish.
The disrespect was aimed at Ed and not you.
Well, how dare you?
All of it sounds delicious.
Thank you. So when do we get to eat it? Does it come now?
Yes. We got Cranny Pat, your dad, and Pugsley on speed dial.
And Irene from Greece.
We're flying her over.
Captain Pret.
We're all going to Duke's.
Captain Pret. We're all going to Duke's.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Florence.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Flo.
Well, there we are, James. What a fun episode.
Really fun. We had, so much food chat, really detailed descriptions of the food, where they were from, how they should be
arranged
presented
on the plate. This is great. That's the level of detail we like.
Yeah, really great.
Fantastic menu.
An insight into Florence's life, films. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, the perfect interview.
And I restrained myself. I didn't ask about Midsommar.
Well, you must have blocked that out completely.
Just like
you did.
Huh?
You did. You asked her if she thought the character was still alive, and then you started talking about YouTube theories.
Yes. Well, this is great.
And then you got absolutely blown out of the water. That's one of my favourite moments on Off Menu ever. Yeah, but Florence, where are all the other May Queens? They were there. Oh.
But it felt so good. Here's the thing. Here's what you've got to understand. I love getting blown out the water.
Yeah.
Because now I know. I didn't know the other May Queens are there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I know that they are there. Yeah. It changes the whole film for me.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
Obviously, I just wanted to ask her about when they push the guy's butt in.
When they push it, when he's in doing the orgy scene. And they push his butt from behind and making him have sex. I was loads of stuff I wanted to ask. Were to ask if she knew that the sister's face was going to be in the trees, or if she only saw that herself when she watched the film back. How much of it was shared with her beforehand? Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, you know, I was annoyed with you initially for asking those questions, but she actually gave a very, very good and interesting answer.
Yes.
And it seems like you actually held quite a lot of stuff back, so well done.
I held so much stuff back.
Yeah.
I could have just gone on and on and asked about that film. It would have been bad. Also, like, here's another question I held back. Mm. I held back asking, because, like, she's in the MCU now, also she was in Little Women. Mm. And if Little Women did a multiverse film where the cast of the Winona Ryder version and the cast of the version that Florence was in all interacted together in the multiverse, would she be in it? So I thought that question and I decided not to say it.
Fuck me, James. You thought of that question?
Yes. Yeah.
And you nearly asked her that.
If I did Little Women multiverse.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty pleased.
I'm really happy with you, man. I'm so proud that you didn't ask that question because that is awful stuff. thanks so much to Florence for coming on. A lucky escape that she'll never know she had.
Yeah,
that question. She didn't say Callus Caviar.
Didn't say Callus Caviar. No. So thank you for that. That means we got to hear the whole menu.
Yes,
not kick someone out the dream restaurant. And of course, A Good Person is out now in all cinemas.
Yes.
And then we'll be on Sky Cinema from the 28th of April.
So go watch that. I am touring in Australia and New Zealand very soon. It starts very soon.
Very excited.
I'm in Melbourne for a couple of weeks. I'm in Perth. I'm in Sydney. I'm in Brisbane. Then I go to New Zealand. I'm in Auckland and I'm in Wellington. So I think there's a few tickets left. So get on my website, edgamble.co.uk.
It's finally feeling real now that you're going away, man. I'm going to miss you. I think that's all we have to say. Benito needs to take a cucumber out into the rain now.
That was crazy, by the way. I mean, we didn't get enough time to talk about that.
Yeah.
You didn't see
him do it. He was cupping it in his hands like a little mouse and we're going out into the rain with it.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, which is the Off Menu Podcast.
The Off Menu Podcast with Florence Pugh.
See you in Dukes, Florence.
See you in Dukes.
Quinn!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.